The backswing stays the exact same when you're dinking versus when you're dropping. The only thing that changes when you're dropping the ball is, since you are a little bit farther, you want to use a little bit of more legs, you bend your knees a little bit more, and you follow through just forward a little more. So that's another key. You are following through forward a little more. You're not following through higher.
This is the moment we waited for. Everything you want is right here. We gonna give them what they came for. We gonna take it up from last year. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Yeah.
Hey guys, so now we are back with another episode of my show, and today I've decided to just freestyle it and think of what the most common questions and most common mistakes have been at the clinics that I have been teaching, which is, you know, I think pretty important. I mean, obviously we want to talk about the pro game and we want to talk about the best players, but I'm well aware that most of the people that watch me are not pros. They're not even 5-0s. Thankfully, with our newsletter, we've been doing surveys, trying to figure out, you know, what is my target audience? What's the level of these players? And it seems to be that the most common player is 3.5 to 4.0 that's watching. So that doesn't mean that the tips that I'm about to give you don't apply to you if you are a 5.0. I think for a couple of them, a couple of these tips definitely will. But we're just going to talk about the most common things that are an issue or are just questions. So we're going to get into it. Not sure if my mic is too low. Somebody on my last podcast said my mic was too low. I'm self-conscious about the height of my mic. It's only my second episode. I have no idea. All right, so we're back. The mic has been changed. I'm something of a, you know, whatever the opposite of the Midas touch is. I've got like the some sort of, look, when I touch technology, things go badly. It's not good. I'm only 24, but my technological abilities are similar to most, you know, people that are above the age of, it's an old age. Look, I know most of my fans are above the age of 45, so I don't want to say anything bad about that community, but you know, maybe they're not as, technologically sound as most people my age, except for me, because I have no idea what I'm doing. So tried to fix the mic. Something happened. Anyway, that's why I got cut off. This is just not a good way to start the show. We're trying to get the mic better, the camera better. All the comments are like, James, like, we love the, you know, the content or whatever, but your mic is bad. Your other pros are making fun of me because my camera was so bad. Like, I was actually at the PPA in Atlanta, and there were like five other pros. I'm not going to name them, that were all at once saying like, James, like, you know, your podcast, we like it. We even listen to it, but I just, you know, it's almost like you're recording it from like a potato or something. Like, we can barely even see you, barely even hear you. It's like you're in like the 80s or 90s, like, and you're just talking to us through like a time warp. So anyway, yeah, I get some flack for it. So we're trying to fix it. We're just coming along for the ride here. Anyway, one of the things actually that is very important, I was just teaching a great clinic at Revolve Pickleball with Brooks Jones. He's the best. He's Anna's biggest fan on Twitter. And he's kind of a fan of mine too. He definitely likes Anna a lot better than me, but that's okay. Most people do, and I can't blame him. I do also. And we had a great clinic, and we had a bunch of people asking, you know, so James, like, we see that when you hit the counter or hit a volley off of a speed up, so somebody speeds it up at me, and then I'm volleying it back, trying to counter attack. They were asking, James, like, it looks like you're so loose. It looks like your arm is like barely even trying. You know, you're not tense at all. And that is 100% true. So I think that's another thing that we have to talk about, because if you look at the top pros, they are super loose with their arm when they're hitting volleys. You know, guys like JW Johnson or Ben or Dylan Frazier or me, there's no tension in the arm. And if you go down to like 4.5s and 4.0s even, you'll see a lot of them when they volley are like pretty rigid. And I think that happens. And it's funny because a lot of players don't even notice how rigid they are when they're hitting volleys, how tense they are. They're trying to hit it hard. And I think that's because they're trying to generate a lot of pace. So they're trying to hit it hard and they feel like, well, it's a volley. You know, somebody's speeding it up at me. I need to be prepared. And then they tense up like this, and then they try to hit the volley hard. And that's not how you do it. It's different, actually. It's, you know, when somebody's speeding it up at you, this might not land. This might only land for people who have played football. But when you're like absorbing a tackle in football, you're taught not to tense up, but to actually like just absorb the hit and be super loose with your entire body. And it's the exact same thing when somebody's speeding it up at you. So it's kind of counterintuitive because you know they're going to speed it up. You're not sure where it's going to go. You just need to be completely loose and just let it happen. Let your hands go where they go. If you're practicing enough, your hands will naturally react to something. And it's a natural reaction of the human body. You know, if somebody throws something at you, your arm will just move and just, you know, sort of block it. So you don't need to interfere with that process. You don't need to get all tense. That's one of the main things. The other main thing with volleying and countering is people taking swings that are too big. And it's kind of in the same vein. It's the same situation where people are, they're trying to hit it hard. They're getting a little too excited and they really, really, you know, want to hit a hard counter. And it's funny because, you know, hitting a hard counter doesn't come from like swinging really big. I mean, maybe, you know, if you swing big, you can hit a little harder, but it's not worth it because you don't have that type of time. The ball is probably moving faster than your hand is anyway. So if you take that big swing, you're taking a lot of time away from yourself. And the players with the fastest hands all have very small swings and very short reload speeds. And it's not a coincidence. So that's something that's very important. And if you're loose, you will swing faster. And pickleballs are very light. If you tense up and you try to muscle it, which I'll, by the way, for visual representations, it's going to be on my YouTube channel next week. We're posting some counter videos. If you are trying to muscle it, you're actually just slowing yourself down. And if you're slowing yourself down, you're not going to be hitting it as hard because a pickleball is very light and it is hit the most hard by being, you know, somebody swinging fast. You just have to swing as fast as you can. You don't try to muscle it and you don't try to swing as hard as you can, if that makes sense, right? That's the best way for me to put it. So keep the swings small and keep your hand and your arm loose. So, okay. This mic keeps kind of falling down. It's a little risky business. Last time I changed my mic, we lost the camera. Okay. So now we're going to talk about another common issue, which is people who are serving with no legs at all. They're not using their legs. They're not transferring their weight at all when they serve. And something that I've been teaching at these clinics, which has helped a lot of people, is the serve itself, which, as I've said, you know, I always say you should miss one. So before we get into this episode, we have to tell you about a must have for anyone in the pickleball world. If you're an avid pickleball player and don't have this app downloaded on your phone, you are missing out on so much. Meet the Selkirk TV app, the first and only free streaming and on-demand app dedicated to everything pickleball. Whether you're a player, a fan, or just curious about the sport, Selkirk TV is your one-stop shop for all things pickleball. So get exclusive early access to content you won't find anywhere else, like lesson courses, podcasts like mine, and more. Imagine improving your game with the pros or catching the latest pickleball buzz before anyone else. Need more? How about a 24/7 live stream featuring new content daily, from gripping PPA tournament matches like the ones that I'm in, or live coverage of a grandstand court to insightful player interviews? Selkirk TV has it all. You can dive into the action anytime, anywhere. And if you're already watching this episode on the app, thank you. But if you aren't, what are you doing? Download the Selkirk TV app now. It's a must-have for anyone who loves pickleball. Visit selkirk.com/TV to download the app today. Okay. All right, guys. So now we're back. We've had some issues with the camera. Look, I'm just going to get into talking. I mean, of course, right? It's fine. It's all good. We're just here for the content anyway. It's not about what I look like, really. So what we were talking about is the volleying swings being really big, or the arms being way too tense. And another place where tension definitely arises, and I think that there's way too much of it, is when we are hitting drops. So for those of us who hit dinks, pretty well, and then we move back and we hit drops and we get a little, nervous, or maybe we are a little too excited because it's a deeper shot and a drop is by all means a more difficult shot than a dink. That doesn't mean we need to be more tense with our hand. We're choking up on the paddle or choking the paddle. That's not really what we should be doing. And I see this way too often at clinics, and it makes sense. Like, I'm not blaming people for it, because if you're dinking, you're dinking to a spot that's 10 feet away from you. You're hitting, imparting almost no power on the ball. It's a very easy shot in a lot of ways. Obviously, I'm sure there's going to be people saying, well, dinking's not that easy. It's not that easy, but it's definitely easier than dropping the ball. But I would encourage everybody to be intimately aware of the fact that a drop is simply just a long dink. That's all it is. And for those of us who have, well, actually, I'll put it this way. So if you've ever played basketball, you would know that if you are shooting a free throw, the technique is going to be the exact same in the upper body as if you were shooting a free throw versus a three-pointer, right? There's no difference. A free throw is closer. A free throw is easier, for sure. But the upper body technique stays the exact same. You don't just put your elbow out and do all this crazy stuff when you shoot a three. If you watch the pros, it's the exact same technique. And that's the same way that it should be when you're dinking, when you're dropping, because by nature, the shot is very similar. It's a soft shot. You're trying to drop it into the kitchen. You're imparting a very minimal amount of spin on it. You're not seeing a lot of people, you know, hit a ton of spin on these drops or dinks for that matter. So super important to keep the same technique, because that's how you build consistency. So I see a lot of people at these clinics dinking one way and then dropping another way, or dinking with a, you know, certain level of strength with their grip and then dropping with a different level of grip strength. So both of those things are wrong. I think you need to keep the same, and I would highly recommend that you're loose with your grip. So if you're at, and it's tough to quantify this, but let's say, you know, a 1 to 10 scale, and a 1 is you're barely touching the paddle, and a 10 is like you're trying to choke out the paddle, you should be at a 3 or a 4, in my opinion. And I don't think it should be any different when you're dropping the ball. Reason for that is the extra power that you do need when you're dropping the ball, because you're a little farther from the kitchen. There's a little extra oomph that you need to put on the shot. It should just be coming from your legs and a little bit of extra forward push. It doesn't come from any extra backswing. So that's one of the biggest things. My backswing is the exact same size on my dinks as it is on my drops. If I see players with a lot of extra backswing or extra wrist movement before they touch the ball, I can be sure that they are less than optimally consistent when they're hitting drops. So that's another super important part of this. The backswing stays the exact same when you're dinking versus when you're dropping. The only thing that changes when you're dropping the ball is, since you are a little bit farther, you want to use a little bit of more legs, you bend your knees a little bit more, and you follow through just forward a little more. So that's another key. You are following through forward a little more. You're not following through higher. So there's a bunch of people that are, when at least from what I've seen, when they're hitting drops, they're following through forward the same amount, but they're finishing higher and they're dropping and they're going from low to high just like that. I think when you're dropping the ball, the trajectory of your paddle should somewhat mirror the trajectory of the ball. And there's an argument to be made that on most shots, this is the case. So if you were to, you know, lob the ball and go straight to the ceiling, the trajectory of your paddle, right, as you swing would look like this. Pretty simple. And if you're going to hit an overhead right into the ground, it would look like this, right? This is, you know, nobody's going to debate that. And if you're hitting a drop, which is a pretty linear shot, because as I try to tell people, you don't want to miss high. You don't, there's a lot of people that say, and coaches that say, miss high, get another try, right? Miss high, and it's better than missing in the net. Like I've said over and over, missing high is better than missing in the net, but missing deep is the best option, because especially with these new paddles today, if you give yourself margin for error as it relates to height and you miss a little higher, you know, giving yourself some extra space there. If somebody makes contact at their shoulder height with a lot of these new paddles, you're not in a good spot. So I would say miss deep, keep the drop low, and then if it bounces a couple feet or doesn't bounce at all, but it's going to bounce a little bit past the kitchen line, that's okay. So anyway, since you're trying to hit pretty linear drops and you're trying to just kind of push them forward and not keep them above shoulder height, then the trajectory of your paddle should somewhat mirror that. You don't want to be hitting a drop like this. There's a lot of people that are kind of finishing above their head when they hit drops, and it's really tough to be consistent that way. So one way to stop yourself from, if you are somebody who finishes too high or has too big of a swing upward on their drop, is to just think of swinging forward more. So the more you push it forward naturally, the less that you will go upward, because your arm can only extend so far. So when you're in a game and you're trying to think, well, you know, I don't want to finish too high, right? I want to try to stop myself from finishing high, because that's what James said on his podcast. You don't think just stopping yourself. That's a tough thing to do, especially in a game situation. You can't really be thinking like that. I would say just think of going forward more. The more forward you go, the less high your swing is going to be naturally. And I think that this is especially true on a slice. People that are slicing and then finishing like that, that's not what you should be doing. And by slice, I mean backspin on the ball. And if you're hitting a slice drop, your paddle face is already open. What that means is your paddle face is facing up. So you're naturally going to be coming under the ball anyway. It's impossible to not come under the ball when you're slicing, because the very nature of what backspin is that you have come under the ball. You don't get backspin any other way. If you come over the ball, there is no backspin on that shot. So since you're getting backspin, you're naturally coming under the ball. So there's really no need for that low to high motion. And another thing with that is, since you already are coming under the ball, you don't really have to bend your knees as much on a slice as you do as on a topspin drop. I think for me, when I'm hitting topspin drops, I'm using my legs more. I'm really getting under the ball. And when I'm hitting a slice drop, of course, you want to be bending your knees, but I don't think it's as crucial. I think I really use my legs on topspin drops, since you have to actively try to get under the ball to get that low to high and get that topspin. So that is all on that front. And another thing that we have to talk about is the serve. So one way that I've been teaching the serve is trying to tell people that you should just treat the serve like an underhand throw as hard as you can. And people are like, well, you know, you don't want to miss serves if you're hitting it as hard as you can. Well, yeah, of course. I mean, you want to make 9 out of 10 of your serves, which is what I always teach. You know, you can miss 1 out of 10 serves. Not a big deal if you're really going for it, trying to get an advantage with the serve. But I think physically and with your legs, you want to treat it like if you were to throw a ball underhand as far as you possibly can. And we've got a visual representation of this on my YouTube channel, which is showing me hitting the serve. And I hit the serve nearly as hard as I can. And you'll see that my legs, you can pull it up, James Ignatowicz Pickleball YouTube, is you can see that I go from right leg back, my dominant leg back, and then I finish with my that same leg all the way inside the court, because getting that weight transfer is so important on the serve, because the weight transfer and the momentum of your body going forward toward a target is always going to be stronger than just using your arm. So when I see people that just have their legs, you know, standing straight up and they're just kind of pushing in the serve, that's not the way to do it. So if you really want to get this motion down, I would actually go out there before you practice or before you work on your serve, take a bunch of balls, 20 of them, and literally just throw these pickleballs underhand as hard as you can. And you'll notice you're probably going to be using your legs. You're probably going to be transferring your weight forward, using shoulder turn, really coming through it. That's how somebody naturally throws a ball underhand as hard as they can. And that's exactly what the serve should be, in my opinion. You look at the guys with the hardest serves, me, Deckel, you know, there's a lot of guys with hard serves, Tyson, for example. We really use our legs. We really transfer our weight. So, and Tyson uses an open stance on his serve, so he's not going back to front as much, but you can be sure that he's using his legs on the serve, which is the main thing that I'm teaching. So anyway, yeah, just a fun drill that you guys could do. Get out there and try to throw the ball underhand as hard as you can. Do it 20 times, then put a paddle in your hand and try to hit the serve, and then notice that it's pretty similar. And if it's not similar, then you're not transferring your weight enough. So that's that. We've also got to talk about my two. Well, actually, we're going to talk about my new assistant coach, Jared Cohen. He's been grinding. He's from the Jacksonville area. I met him at an exhibition in Jacksonville. It was funny. He was my first teammate in this doubles exhibition that we had. And he pulls out this Gearbox Pro. He calls it the box, just an absolute, you know, we're hoping that it gets banned. I mean, I wouldn't encourage you guys to buy it. It's too powerful. And I'm not just saying that because it's a Selkirk podcast. The thing is a flamethrower paddle. And, anyway, he pulls it out and he was just dominating my friend and my assistant coach at the time. This is when I first met him. He was dominating my assistant coach, Ryan Fu, with this Gearbox paddle, just crushing the guy. And I was like, wow, like I need to get to know this Jared guy. And he's been now reaching out to clubs and we're going to do some clinics together. We got a clinic coming up in Sacramento. So shout out to Jared Cohen. And if you're ever playing against him, watch out. I mean, the guy's got the counters with the box are just, you know, flamethrower-like. I would watch out for him. But anyway, great guy. Had to give him a shout out. Super excited about the work we're going to be doing together. Also, a couple of my favorite clinics coming up. We have a clinic at the YMCA in Chesapeake, Maryland. If you told me that I would be teaching pickleball at a YMCA, if you know, 5 years ago, you said, James, you're going to be teaching pickleball at a YMCA, I would have said, okay, but we're excited about it. It's going to be fun. I'm just kidding, by the way, guys. Some of the people in my comments don't get jokes. That's okay. We're also going to be doing a great clinic at Down the Line Sports Center in Maryland with Jenny Bay. She's the best. And if you're not familiar with Down the Line Sports Center, they are my new favorite club because there was a poster of Anna at this club. They're like a YOLA sponsored club. So it's the only issue with them. Maybe they're not my favorite club actually because of that. Anyway, they had a big poster of Anna. It must've been the biggest poster in the facility. It was Anna with a YOLA paddle hitting a backhand. And that club is, I guess they're good friends with DC Pickleball Team, which is my major league pickleball team. So we did some practicing there. I go to the club. Jenny is the nice lady, great lady who runs the club. And I said, Jenny, why do you have this massive poster of Anna and nothing of me? I'm on DC Pickleball Team. And then she's like, you know, some excuse. Oh, well, YOLA sponsors us. I guess it's a fair excuse. I said, Jenny, I will do a clinic here. If you make me a poster that is 10% larger than Anna's poster. And she came through. So we now have a massive poster. I mean, not yet, but we're hoping to have a massive poster of me at this YOLA sponsored club, which is great. And so anyway, we've got a clinic there. It's going to be on June 18th, I believe. We're going to be doing some great stuff. It's going to be awesome. And I guess that's it. I don't have anything else to shout out. And if I'm forgetting anybody, I'm going to feel bad about it. No, that's it. So, all right, guys, thank you for watching.